grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. At the end of the very first chapter in Holy Scripture, at the very end of the story of creation, we find the words, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." I love the words of the children's hymn, "All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all." And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God created the world out of love, out of the desire to share the life and the joy, the sheer goodness that are eternally his. As St. Paul writes, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, God has prepared for those who love him." And what God has prepared for us is to share in the life that is eternally his, which is itself a life of sharing. And the festival we celebrate today, the festival of the Holy Trinity, celebrates the great mystery that in God himself there is eternally sharing, communion, mutual delight and joy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three, yet one God. Saint Damasus, the 4th century Bishop of Rome, put it this way: God is one, but not solitary. God is one, but not solitary. And that great 17th century poet and preacher, John Donne, put it this way: it was the entertainment of God himself, his delight to joy in one another in the Trinity. It was the Father's delight to look upon himself in the Son and to see the whole Godhead in a threefold and equal glory. A great and wonderful mystery. God's life eternally is sharing, and God shares with us. He creates us with the capacity to delight in him, in all he makes and does, and in all he is. This is the Christian vision of humanity, of the world, of the whole creation. But it's no secret that many people, perhaps most, find this vision just too good to be true, just another lovely thought with no basis in hard reality. And this vision would be just another lovely thought were it not for those loving acts of God that we Christians celebrate year by year, as we have again this year, the birth of the Lord Jesus, his life and teaching and miracles, his sufferings and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, through which you and I come to share in the life of God, whose life eternally is sharing, communion, delight, and joy. But this very good creation has, of course, been horribly damaged and defaced, not only by the fall of our first parents, but also by generation after generation after generation of fallen humanity. And we know all this only too well as we look at the condition of this allegedly enlightened age, with all its unbridled selfishness and greed, its ever-increasing coarseness and callousness, and its unspeakable cruelty and its shamelessness. Yes, all of this is only too true, and sadly is the stuff of daily life around this fallen world. But it is also unmercifully true that the Son of God did become flesh and dwell among us, bearing the burden of the sin which defaces and destroys God's very good creation in his own body on the cross. He broke the bonds of death and the grave, and he took the humanity that is yours and mine up into the very life of God, and sent down the Holy Spirit to draw us to him and through him to the Father. And so the Holy Trinity isn't some dry and difficult dogma. It is, in fact, our actual experience of God. God, the Holy Spirit, shows us Jesus, God's Son, and through Jesus, God's Son, God the Father. And so you and I are truly drawn into the very life of the Holy Trinity, the God of sharing and delight. Into that eternally shared divine life, you and I were in fact drawn when we were baptized, when with water, the name of God, whose very nature is sharing, communion, delight and joy, was placed upon us. the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. While still living in this fallen creation, we continue to struggle, daily struggle, and we fall short of that life of sharing communion, delight, and joy. But in every celebration of Christ's Holy Supper, we in fact catch a glimpse of that life of sharing and communion for which God made us. In fact, in the English-speaking world, the most common name for Christ's Supper is Holy Communion, which means the holy sharing in the very life of God, as we mysteriously yet truly partake of the body of Jesus, the body crucified for our sins and raised from the dead by the Father, and of his precious blood that cleanses us from all sin. Earth and stars and sky and ocean, by that flood from stain are free. Here in Holy Communion we are restored to communion and sharing, delight and joy, not by anything we do, but because God, whose very nature is communion and sharing, here shares with us the body and blood of his Son, who took on himself and has never put aside our human nature, so that we might be, as St. Peter writes, partakers of the divine nature. Partakers, sharers in the divine nature. Here at the altar, we receive the pledge and foretaste of that perfect communion and sharing, that perfect delight and joy which we shall know in all its fullness on that last and great day when the risen and ascended Lord appears in glory to make the whole creation new, as St. John saw in his vision while exiled on the island of Patmos. John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." As in the beginning, so also in that end that will be no end, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Oh, praise ye the Lord, thanksgiving and song to him be outpoured all ages along. For love in creation, for heaven restored, for grace of salvation, oh, praise ye the Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.